Good morning. A very, very warm welcome to worship this morning. You will have realized I am thinking by this time that I am not Joshua. I hope at least you have noticed. My name is Sheila Mitchell, for those of you that I haven't yet had the privilege of meeting, and I'm Joshua and Heather's colleague from Echt and Midmar. Joshua's not very well this weekend, so he'll not be with us either today or next week. This morning's early morning worship service was conducted by Noel Lord, the Half Past Eight Garden Service. And Echt and Midmar has the privilege of Noel's company. She's away over to Echt and Midmar to support worship there while I am here. It's an absolute privilege to be with you because we usually see one another on the screens. And the first time that I met Ishbel, one of the first things she said to me was, "Do you know, you look nothing at all like I thought you would look in real life." Now, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but she went on to say to me, "I thought you were a teeny tiny person." So I can confirm that I am definitely not teeny tiny. We extend to you a warm welcome on this most wonderful of Sundays in our calendar. A particular word of welcome to Alana, and if you can't see her, I suspect you'll hear her at the front, and her brothers and mum and dad and wider extended family. You're most welcome, and it's a delight to have you in worship today. Also, we extend a very warm welcome to our friends at Littlewood Court, who also are joining us in worship today. I'm going to begin with some lovely words, words by an Australian lay preacher who's also a writer and lecturer. A lady by the name of Anne Siddle, and this is what she writes. "We're not eyewitnesses to an event, as were Mary and the disciples. We've not journeyed through a dangerous city to seek answers or consolation. We've not seen angels gathering at the rim of this day or wept in the garden this morning because we couldn't find him. But we are here to attest to a story that has not lost its power during 20 centuries of change and conflict. We are here because those before us carried this story as if it were precious gold. They cherished it as if it were the key to hidden wisdom. Sisters and brothers in Christ, take your places here today in celebration and in awe, because what you're about to hear again has the capacity to change the world. Your very presence attests to the rising up from the tomb of despair and to the uncontrollable power of God. It is Easter morning again, and we will celebrate. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia." We join together now as we sing to God's praise the words of our first hymn, "Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia."
Oh,
Creator and Redeemer God, there from the beginning and making all things new. Today the whole earth cries glory, and heaven and nature sing this Easter day in celebration. With your people everywhere, we offer our praise and give thanks for your love, burning in us and in our world like a light that can never be extinguished. Billions of years ago, new life was born. 2,000 years ago, new life was born, and today, new life is born within us. In the silence of our soul, the sacred is reborn, and the spirit of the risen Christ rises once again. May we know the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. May we hear his voice call us by name. And in our mind's eye, may we see him standing before us, saying, "Peace be with you." Holy God, inevitably in all of our lives, there have been moments when we've not lived by faith, when we've not even lived in hope, and when we've not lived by love. There have been moments when we failed to recognize our risen Lord or have been deaf to his voice, indifferent to his presence, whether through choice or through ignorance or through circumstance. But because you are risen, holy God, we dare to believe that past failures need not weigh us down, and that you free us from our burdens just as you freed your disciples from the burden of their failures at that first Easter. Today, like the disciples, we dare to believe in life beyond death, in hope beyond uncertainty, and we pray, Lord, live in us, and we shall truly live. And we offer you our prayers this day in the name of our risen Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing again, this time our hymn, "Jesus, We Celebrate Your Victory."
Jesus, we bring our tears and our fears. Jesus,
It's my great pleasure this morning to baptise Alana Margaret McPherson Raffin. So together, hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Scripture also says to us, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, there is no longer slave nor free, there is no longer male nor female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus, we recognize in baptism that God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we're joined together with the church, the body of Christ. In this time and in this place, let us remember with joy our own baptism and our unity with Christ. And so I'm going to ask Stephen and Julie and Alana and brothers, do you want to join us as well, or do you want to sit there? Are you going to sit? That's cool. Any of the other wee people in church, would anybody else like to come and watch what's happening? Would you like to? Well, why don't you come as well then? Would anybody else like to come and see close up what's happening? Have we got everybody? Okay. What's your name?
Zach.
My nephew.
Hiya, Zach. Are you going to come? Because I think you're going to see less at the back than you, than there.
You see that?
Okay. Cool. Stephen and Julie, do you reaffirm your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say we do.
We do.
Do you turn again to Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Saviour, trusting in his grace and love?
We do.
We do.
Do you desire that your daughter Alana be baptised into the Christian faith?
We do.
We do.
And relying on God's grace, do you promise to model the Christian faith to Alana and to teach that faith to her?
We do.
We do.
And can I ask the godparents to stand and come forward? Sean and Amy, would you like to come?
I'll move up back.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Come. That's it. Sean and Amy, relying on the grace and mercy of Almighty God, do you promise to love and support Stephen and Julie in their Christian calling to be parents, as they seek to live their lives in a way that shows Jesus Christ to Alana and to the wider world?
We do.
And to the members of the congregation, would you please stand in your places? To you all present today and to our congregation joining us online, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to support Stephen and Julie, to guide and nurture them by their children, nurture them with their children, Jason, Daniel, and Alana, by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Jesus Christ? If so, please say we do. Together, let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ sets us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. From it we are raised to share in his resurrection. And through it, we're reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, will she come to me?
She might.
Hello.
Hi.
I need glasses. This is the problem.
Okay. Oh, she loves glasses.
Do you like glasses? Are you going to come?
Are you going to go?
Are you going to come? Oh, Mum. Okay.
We were ready for Plan B. Plan B it is. Okay, come over here. I know, look at that. Ooh. Alana, Margaret, McPherson, Raffin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of the triune God rest upon you now and forevermore. Alana, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Represents Jesus Christ and the new life offered to us all by him. You have now been enfolded into the covenant of grace between God and his people, and we rejoice with you in your baptism. Stephen and Julie and boys, may the Lord bless your family today and in the time to come. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're going to go and have a seat. Bye-bye. 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 Thank you. Have it. Please be seated.
Today's Bible reading is taken from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through to 8. It's about the resurrection, as you might imagine. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes standing on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Remembering and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. A colleague of mine, I remember, once received a postcard from a patient that he'd worked with. And I can remember it still. It spent years and years propped up on a shelf in his office. It was a regular postcard size. It was plain purple and it had white words printed on the front. And it read very simply, "Blessed are the cracked, for they let in the light." And if it probably wasn't bordering on heresy, I would almost suggest that that would be a good addition to the original text. Most of my working life, you might know or not know, has been in the NHS, and it's been with people who had been badly damaged by their experience of life. People with illness, people with addictions, abusers, the abused. People facing tragedy, people even damaged and sometimes severely damaged by their experience of religion. In fact, people whose lives and health in some way or another decidedly showed the cracks. But in the middle of all of that were the most fantastic incidents and stories. Experiences of the most amazing courage and resilience, hope and optimism. People who couldn't possibly find a way out or a solution to their circumstances, finding a glimmer of hope or some kind of meaning. Some of them rediscovering things in life that were still worth treasuring or honouring, living for, fighting for. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene expected to find death, but instead she found new life. She didn't go looking for resurrection. Resurrection found her. And that, I think, is equally true for us. Resurrection comes to us. We don't always go looking for it. It comes to us through the cracks in our lives. It comes in blinding realizations. It creeps up on us unawares. It seeps into our thinking. And if we can but allow it, it begins to shape our experience and our outlook on life. Resurrection changes our thinking. And it invites us to look at life through a different lens, to take a different perspective. The wonder of our resurrection faith is that in the life and death of Jesus Christ, God reaches out to us without expectation and without demand. The resurrection finds us. We don't go looking for resurrection. In the depths of despair and unfathomable hurt of grief, in the moments when nothing seems certain, and we don't know whether we've made the right decisions and the right choices, when relationships are hard and things break down, when things feel irretrievably lost, or when hope isn't certain, or even, and we all know the feeling, when there's a dawning realization that life didn't turn out, perhaps, the way we imagined it would. The very things of what it means to be human. But through every single crack, resurrection comes to find us. Through every hurt in life, resurrection comes to find us. It can be veiled and hidden and different to what we imagine. It can be obvious and joyful and self-evident. But we don't need to pretend to understand it. We don't even need to recognize it. We don't need to subscribe to a set of beliefs around what resurrection is or isn't. All we have to hold on to is the fact that God, through the life and death of Jesus Christ, offers each and every one of us new beginnings. He looks at our lives and he blesses what he sees, cracks and all. And when we let God into the cracks, we let in the light of resurrection, hope, and faith that we celebrate today. Like Mary, it's tempting to go looking for God in the familiar, in the places we expect to find God. But the Easter message is about God's love being so tenacious that God's willing to go to any length to find us in all the wrong places. God finds us when we're down and out, when we're at the end of our tether, and when all hope seems lost. And it's in those moments God rolls back the stones that confine us or define us. And then stands waiting with a familiar voice to call us to new life. So we are called to go and tell, not only with our lips, but also with our lives, to go and tell the resurrection power of God's love and hope. People of faith are by definition not whole and finished and complete and perfect, not one of us. But that's the beauty of the Easter message. It's through the cracks that God brings the light into our lives. And that surely is what we celebrate today. Resurrection isn't just an event, it's an experience. And although today we're celebrating Easter as if it's a moment in time, we're called to live that experience every single day. So this Easter, may we open our whole selves, our hearts, souls, minds, and strength to God's inspiring call to new life and renewed love. And in each and every moment, may we live and bear witness to our resurrection faith. Amen. Our praise is the hymn, See What a Morning. Join our hearts again in prayer. Let us pray. And so we're here today to give thanks, thanks for the light of resurrection that shines bravely and brilliantly in the face of the world's darkness. We give thanks for a God who breaks into the normal order of things. A God who even yet comes to challenge our expectations, to defy what we think is possible, and who dares us to believe the incredible. We give thanks for the gift of inquiring minds and inquisitive faith. Thanks for our place among the community of believers in heaven and on earth. This Easter day, we make our prayer for others, for the people in our world who are struggling to see signs of resurrection in their own lives, for the places in the world where the sound of joy is hard to hear or seems meaningless at this moment in time. We pray for wherever people need a new vision, a new and peaceful way of seeing themselves and of understanding the world. Today we celebrate Christ raised, and we give thanks that we are witnesses to his love. Witnesses to moments of resurrection in our own lives, resurrection in our thinking, in our believing, and resurrection through our experiences of life. And now we bring before God both our thanks and our prayers for others. Prayers for people near and far, known and unknown. Prayers great and small, but each and every prayer heard and received by God. Holy God, may our resurrection faith forever shape our living and believing. And may your risen presence be with all those we've brought to mind before you. And we further pray now in the words of Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing together now the words of the wonderful Easter hymn, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son.
Thank you.
now as light bearers to a world seeking hope. Go now as hope carriers to a world seeking peace. We go in the name of Christ, in the love of God, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, rest upon us and remain with us and with people everywhere, now and forevermore. Amen.